quarter of a few questions and concerns for our panel members. And they can address them. And so I'd like to ask if you have a question, just stand up and speak really loudly.
So I think it's wonderful we're all here and we all have an opportunity to go home and forget about this, but I'm praying that everybody doesn't. And that everybody really takes on being active and doing something. But I really think that everybody has to be a team. I applaud everybody who's involved in a very serious way with these organizations. And I really feel that there's a very important role for all organizations to figure out a way to be part of a larger coalition that gets organized in such a way that each individual organization can be the specialist of this particular initiative and everybody could know about each other so that there's not a reproduction of efforts and a wasting of resources. So that's my hope, is that at some point we can all do that. Thank you.
We were talking about how happy we are that the representatives of the Sierra Club are African Americans. I've been working with environmental justice concerns for ages, and so many of the environmental organizations are ladies and gentlemen. And in Bucks County, the African American community and the University of Bucks County is the hardest hit by all the air pollution violations and also by flooding and so forth, because they're also really close to the Delaware River there. So I wonder if you, I'm curious about how you got involved with the Sierra Club and you know, what made you go into that organization and how we can reach out and connect more with people of color in Bucks County.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. I have to say for myself, I started calling here. I got involved with the Sierra Club afternoons. And they reached out to me as if it meant it was no different than they reached out to anyone else. You know? And then later on we had a discussion and we said, hey, you know, we're often white. The city of Philadelphia isn't, and how can we be more diverse? And that's how we started the Veterans for Clean Air program. We decided to reach out to the Veterans for Clean Air, there's 90% African American, and men and women, and we made that a priority, and we say we're going to do it. And it's scary a lot of times to reach out to people from different groups. But I encourage you to do so. Just reach out. Our group now is also now diversifying in the lesbian and gay community. We just built a relationship with William Wayson. So the same thing we've been doing with the veterans and African Americans, we're now doing with the gay and lesbian community. So it's just, how are we doing it? We don't know what we're doing. All we know is that we're putting our foot out there. You're gonna offend each other. You're going to make each other upset by some things you say. You're going to say the wrong thing from time to time. You're going to grow from it. You're going to grow together. And you're going to respect each other. But yes, it is time for us to diversify.
Speaking of diversity, in Georgia, the Sierra Club found some common ground with the Tea Party around rooftop solar. Tea Party was interested in rooftop solar for other reasons. But they made a coalition called the Green Tea Coalition. And I wonder whether there was some thought about doing that here.
Hell to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no. Hell to the no, no.
To the no, no. But my name is Bill Clinton, and I'm with the Unitarian Universalist.
My question is, I'm very interested in the opportunity to organize crowds are here.
When the crowds are here and the Pope is in the house. So what I'm interested in is what is this group, this coalition of groups, going to, how are we going to use the opportunity of everybody coming to Philadelphia to either support, collaborate with, or use the event to advance our cause?
I'd like to speak to that for just a minute by saying that as a rabbi, I know that myself and many of my rabbi colleagues have been using the opportunity to speak about the encyclical, which is a theology of creation, at our Holy Day services this fall, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And his message has given us the opportunity to lift up those issues. And if there's somebody else on the panel wants to speak to that, there are some questions. Yeah, let's hear.
I just wanted to say to that point, I belong to 350, and 350.org is very interested in supporting any actions Friday, Saturday, Sunday, anytime that COVID is here. We have captured names. You know, if there are other folks in this room who want to drop a banner, who want to, you know, show that Philadelphia is really concerned, when the media is really, you know, focused in, when there are millions here, let's do it. Let's do it. I'd be more than happy to, you know, be in touch with you guys and see if we can do something.
All right. My name is Richard Whitecourt. I'm with the Climate Reality Project, and I just wanted to ask the gentleman from the union not to leave until I catch up to you, because I'd like to talk to you.
Yes, Allison
Cornyn
is
going to
be speaking.
Allison
is
the
Director of Climate Reality Project, and she's going to be speaking. I think actually one of the things we're focused on is how to keep the energy and the message going after the Pope is here and has left Philadelphia. It's really important to us that the message not depart the city once he gets on the plane. So Pennsylvania Interfaith Power and Light has our annual conference on October 25th. It'll be held at Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. All are welcome. It's very informal. We'll continue the conversation. The program is focused on a response to the encyclical, and we plan to have programs for months from this point forward to continue to keep the message going. So thank you, and thank you for the question, and I hope you'll show up. And also, I'm part of the vigil, so please, after we finish tonight here, remember to come to Love Park and ask for the vigil. Thanks.
Yeah. There's a flyer for the IPL conference
that
you just
got
in the emerging
table.
Thank you.
Does anyone else on the panel want to speak?
If there's another faith event that's happening in Washington, if anybody observes Yom Kippur or, you know, is Jewish by connection or whatever, we will be having our Holiest Day of the Year Yom Kippur services at the Lincoln Memorial, and we will be weaving in the Pope's message with that. So,
oh my God. I was saying, I'm a member of the Steelworkers Union, I work at EPS. There were no fires today because members of my union prevented them from taking place despite company pressure to either move too fast or cut safety corners, which happens every day. It happens every day on the railroads too. There's a conference there this month in Chicago, Railroad Workers United, which is a group of rail workers who are trying to take up questions of safety and other questions, like exploding boxes and coils. When I was out in Kentucky earlier this year for the oil strike, I met some of the rail workers who were members of the union, not the guys who were on the crew for exploding boxes, but members of that oil. And they explained that in the coal, the rail tracks, and when the rail tracks, the rails happen every 2 minutes on the railroad, but they happen with oil trains, and the consequences are what we know. The thing is, oil can be refined safely, and oil can be transported safely through pipelines, or I'm not sure about what they need to do to the rails and the railroad cars. But I know, I work on a crew here, and I know what Bakken does that's different than other forms of crew that we use. It's much lighter. As a result, it's a higher vapor pressure. As a result, when it's in a car, it needs to be a car that's organized differently than all of the cars that they have today. So the thing is, who has the power to stop these things from taking place? We're not going to stop production. We're not going to stop the climate. That's unrealistic. It can't be done under capital. It can be done. It can be organized safely. And that's what I think we need to focus on, is forcing them to do things safely until we organize the power to take out of their hands entirely. But I don't think anybody in this room thinks that's something that can be accomplished. I'm for it, but you have to start with fights and things you can fight today. And the fight for safety is one of the world's concerns. So I think we have to think of it in those terms. And we have to think about it's an international fight. So we have millions of allies who can't read at night today because they don't have guns. If you don't think about millions of workers in Africa and in areas of Asia who can't read at night, then you're locking them out of the process. And they need lights. So they need whatever form of energy it takes to get them involved is what I'm for. We have to start with how do we bring the forces necessary to win on the battle.
This is so good.
And Asia too.
Okay. After I finish my comment question, I just want to see if maybe Matt, if he's still in the room, if he could stand up again and announce where that AMS hearing is tomorrow. Because as important as this event is, that's a real political event tomorrow at 6 p.m. And if everybody who's here right now could show up and bring five people, we can make a difference, as that worker just said, at PES. And we could really confront them about their violations. Here, so here. That's one thing, and I hope Matt will remember to re-announce that after I sit down. The other thing I just wanted to say is that we've built a movement that is in Philadelphia, and it's also a rural-urban solidarity movement where we have relationships of love and solidarity and protection and fight with the people in the shale fields and the people who are experiencing mountaintop removal, and the fracking that's taking place in Pennsylvania, Ohio, the Utica Shale, the Marcellus Shale, but also the Bakken Shale. We have relationships of solidarity, and I want to make sure that we don't lose courage in saying we have to protect Philadelphia and the shale fields residents and the workers, all three, because we're not articulating that message strongly enough tonight, so let's not lose that. The health impacts are killing people, and we have to keep that in mind and really be protected. Thank you.
Thank you.
get rid of fracking and to install solar energy. What we're talking about is being done there. Low-income projects that allow people to borrow money and install solar systems now without, you know, with interest-free loans. This is being done in other communities. In this city, every year, thousands of young people graduate and with expertise that can help them grow the field of solar energy, and they cannot find jobs. And this has been going on for years now. There's this huge accumulation of unemployed, skilled youth that need work. So I would challenge, I think that this meeting actually is a group of people who are kind of my age and a certain amount of economic well-being, you know, and some people together, thank you. But that, you know, we need to really support and realize that now we can be doing this and now we need to be doing this thing. Thank you.
North Philadelphia rooftop. We heard about the launch of Meeting Justice Philly on